the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The electronic age is on us, isn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
Lindsay Lohan was released from custody.
Your message today to the developers behind this.
Stop it.
So after the tour, you're hitting the studio, new album, any future projects?
People have died and the rest of us will be cannibals.
That's just stuck on stupid.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we'll head toward that truth, try to get a couple of laughs along the way, no matter what it takes, through the looking glass and beyond. 877-876-PHIL. Michael Moore opens his fat yap about Afghanistan and the WikiLeaks. Haven't heard from Michael in a long time. So we will hear what he has to weigh in on, if you'll pardon the expression. Arkansas bans smoking in public on public college campuses. No more smoking on college campuses. Plus, Bud's nightly news tonight. Bud, you ready for that?
Yeah, I got some pretty good stories to read.
Good. 877-876-PHIL. PhilHendryShow.com.
Man, I can't. I always love to hear the Bud news, you know.
Why? Because you learn.
Yeah, I learn, man. I learn nothing, man. Listen to you talking like a tard. A tard and a half.
See, he gets to say tard.
Don't say tard, okay?
I mean, retard.
I know, but just don't say it. Our website, PhilHendryShow.com, by the way. And we have the results of our polling this evening. We asked the question, do you think that Bleep My Dad Says will be a success? Do you think it will be a hit on TV? Bleep My Dad Says, starring William Shatner, and the results are 54% said yes and 46% said no. That was from the Phil Hendry Show website. Now, that sounds a bit like it's split down the middle almost, right? I think people like it because it's a Twitter thing, it's an internet thing, and people tended to believe that it would be a hit. And we were talking before the show, during our pre-feed, that it sounds a bit like maybe Titus, because this is a show that's going to have a second or a third act. You know what I mean?
Well, you're talking about how if they do the show, what's the other episode about?
The other episode, man? Let's try, like, you know, 12 episodes.
Yeah, they got to come up with, like, 12 ideas.
Well, the guy, have you ever seen a guy's Stuff My Dad Says is more than 12?
No, but see, here's the thing. You remember Jeff Foxworthy?
Barely.
Barely. Jeff Foxworthy was a huge hit in the early 90s with his You Might Be a Redneck If. You Might Be a Redneck If. You Might Be a Redneck If, right? And they gave him a show based on that.
What?
On that joke. You may be a redneck if you dot, dot, dot.
If you what?
I don't know, man. I don't remember any of them. But that was Jeff Foxworthy's thing. And he's a very funny guy, but I don't know how you base a show on a series of jokes. And that was in the early 90s. And they were very funny jokes. And it was back when there was kind of a resurgence of the redneck thing. I think it was the early 90s, yeah, because Brett Butler, remember Grace Under Fire, that show?
No.
I must be. How old are you guys? You guys don't remember that show?
I don't remember that, no.
I remember Moesha.
Moesha. Well, anyway, the shows in the 90s like Grace Under Fire, there was some hillbilly stuff happening back then. Achy, Breaky Heart, all that jazz.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Okay, you ever heard of Hannah Montana? Or what's her name, Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
That's her dad.
What is?
Never mind. So, I ain't going to go into it now. Jeff Foxworthy's show lasted two seasons, 95 through 97. Thank you very much, Jason. Well, that's three seasons. 95 through 97 is 95, 96, 90, that's three seasons. So, was it two, like 95, 96, something like that? Anyway, and that was based on the joke. So, that's what I'm thinking about this show, Stuff My Dad Says, Bleep My Dad Says, that it's a one-joke thing. So it has that going against it. Then the other thing that it has kind of going for it, in a way, if William Shatner can pull it off the way Stacey Keach did, was the Titus show.
That show was great. I love that show a 1,000,000%.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. That dad was funny. That Stacey Keach?
Yes, that was Stacey Keach. And he was a riot, man. And he was a big part of that show. But the downside to Titus was that it only lasted maybe 3-4 years, I think. See, so I know that I'm probably, thinking too hard about this man, but I don't know. Stuff my dad says may just be a title and may have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the Twitter account. It may be just about this curmudgeonly dad who's really got funny stuff to say, but you got to have the guy that started the Justin character.
Yeah, the guy that started Justin, that guy's going to be the biggest star. I bet you he didn't even know about it when he first thought about it.
About what?
About what, man? About when he did a Twitter account?
Yeah, when he started Stuff My Dad Says.
Oh, man, that guy probably a professional writer.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, that guy probably worked in Hollywood. He probably worked in Hollywood all that time and started a Twitter,
Twitter, man. God, what's so hard about that?
Yeah, no, really.
Twitter account for something to do during a writer's strike.
Well, that's possible. That's possible during the writer's strike. Maybe he did start a Twitter account. I don't know, but here's the thing. It's going to have to be about something other than a series of one-liners coming from the dad. So the dad will be pivotal, but then it'll, like every other show that's successful, it's got to spread out like the son, the Justin character. I'm sure there's going to be a girlfriend or a wife for him. There's bound to be a mother, maybe, I don't know, is there a mother figure in this Stuff My Dad Says? You know?
Yeah, they're probably going to have some friends and everything, or that it got to be interesting and everything to make it interesting.
Yeah, that's how they got to do it.
That's great. Why don't I have you guys go over there and explain the whole thing?
Yeah, they ought to hire my ass. I go over and tell them how to do it.
What makes you? Yeah, right. You're not even a white man. And
what that got to do with it?
All right, I don't want to have this argument every night. What do you mean you're not even a white man?
I'm just saying that you got to be regular. I mean, black people are regular and everything, but they're not like the norm or nothing like that.
Hey, man. If black people ain't the norm or nothing like that, how come we good enough to be on every football team, basketball team?
Well, everybody expects that.
I'm not having you guys have this argument. You understand?
You're just ignorant, man. That's all. Just ignorant.
He's right.
Why?
He's right. You are stupid. You know, and you do it on purpose. I know you do it to piss him off.
Why am I stupid?
Black people aren't even normal. They need a white man. All right. Parents, the Parent Television Council, in the meantime, with all of this other bullcrap that's going on, something called the Parent Television Council, it's been around since 1995. They claim a membership of 1.5 million, and they have a problem with the name of this show. Now, understand that the people that are producing the show have taken the liberty, have taken the I think, intelligent step to remove the actual first word that appears in the phrase, bleep, my dad says, and they've replaced it with bleep. Why did they do that? So that they don't run afoul of FCC guidelines, of which there are none. This thing about FCC guidelines, by the way, there are no FCC guidelines. There's no printed FCC guidelines. None. Every time the FCC is challenged in court, they just cite precedent, precedent, precedent. They haven't written anything down. And the reason why they haven't written anything down is if they write something down, the minute they write something down, the minute the FCC attempts to put any kind of a regulation into writing and puts it into their little rule book, whatever that may be, their time on this planet as a fully constituted agency of the federal government has a finite point. Meaning they'll be sued and they will be disassembled in front of everybody's eyes, the horror of it, after it goes to the Supreme Court. So they don't really have any written indecency stuff. What they do, though, is they take all these letters from indignant people, etc. Now, the Parent Television Council claims to have 1.5 million people. That's significant. They've been around since 1995. That's significant. However, and I say the however because this is a big thing. They are a highly partisan group. Why? They were among their founding members was Brent Bozell. Nothing wrong with being a conservative. Understand, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you come at someone as an organization and you are identified very clearly as a certain kind of political ideology, it starts to wear very thin with the press, with the public, with the courts, and ultimately with just about everybody. All popular opinion will begin to turn against you because you look like you got some kind of an agenda. If you were an organization that had both progressive and conservative members, if you had Democrat and Republican members, if you had white and black members, if you had, you know, if you look like a truly universally Catholic, and I say that in the actual sense of universal, you were constituted by all kinds of different people. People say, well, these are really parents. These are actual parents who care about kids. These are parents that care about kids. But when it's the Parent Television Council and I got Brent Bozell standing there,
He looks like he's going to be like, he's going to be working on behalf of like, Pat Colder.
Yeah.
Pat Colder.
Yeah.
That woman.
Ann Colder.
Who's Pat Colder?
There's no Pat Colder that I know of. You may be thinking about Pat Buchanan.
No.
Oh, man, what about Pat something?
Pat Buchanan! Parent Television Council warns CBS advertisers. And, of course, what they're saying is, if you advertise on this show, we have 1.5 million members who will boycott your products. That's a very, very potent threat. It's taken very seriously by broadcasters. It takes a very courageous broadcaster. It takes an actual very courageous advertiser to understand that if you're going to advertise in the world of national broadcast media, whether it's radio or TV, you're going to be subject to this kind of thing all the time. If you want to get involved in television or radio as an advertiser, it is a controversial area of communication and entertainment. You need to be prepared for these things. Don't come into the area of advertising and television and radio, and when someone says, oh, you're advertising on the Charlie Buchanan show? Well, he stinks. We're going to boycott you. Don't act surprised. Don't say, oh, my God, we had no idea. Because this is the world. One of the things that many advertisers need to educate themselves on is because one person bitches about a show doesn't mean that there's an entire group of people against it. At some point, in other words, if you are advertising in television or radio, you have to show a little courage, you see.
Yeah, but then they're going to say you're making fun of them.
No, they're not.
Did I say Phil Henry was on the radio saying they ain't got a pair on them?
Yeah, they need to grow a pair.
No, I did not say that. I'm saying simply be aware. Be forewarned. That's the Boy Scouts marching song.
No, it's be prepared.
It's be prepared, the Boy Scouts marching song. All right, we'll be back with more of that bullcrap. God, man. 877-876-PHIL. Can a person legally ban their Muslim employees from wearing their religious headscarves? You know, you haven't asked that question? You don't care? You don't really want to have to deal with it? Well, we'll deal with it. A court weighs in, 877-876-PHIL, Bud's Nightly News, still to come here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And our website is philhendryshow.com, and today began our podcasts on iTunes. If you have an iPod, an iPhone, then you have our iTunes podcast, not only of our current show, but also a 3 times a week podcast of classic Phil Hendry. We call it the Phil Hendry Classic. And this week, at least the beginning classic we're featuring is Plane Go Boom. So if you want to know how Plane Go Boom got made, and if you don't know what Plane Go Boom is, brother, you are, man, you got to get with it.
People got to get up to speed on a lot of the stuff that we got.
They do. You got to go over to the website and get a backstage pass and take a look at the archives that we have. We're always making our archive material downloadable. We are adding more stuff to the archives every day. I mean, at breakneck speed, man. And when I say archives, we're going back years and years and years and years of Phil Hendry Show Radio. So get over to philhendryshow.com. Now, before we go anywhere else and do anything else, we should hear William Shatner explaining how Twitter inspired this sitcom, because we were talking about Crap My Dad Says or Bleep My Dad Says, and we were discussing how the Parent Council, Parent Television Council, is complaining. They don't like the bleep. Now, understand that the CBS said bleep because they didn't want to use the S word, because that's what the Twitter account is called. S, My Dad Says. But they didn't want to do that, so they decided to use bleep. Well, guess what? The Parent Television Council, that ain't good enough for them. They're urging marketers to not sponsor the show unless they wish to associate their hard-earned brands with, quote, excrement. Now, here's my problem. I agree with parents monitoring television. I agree with parents being concerned with children. What I don't agree with and what I find despicable personally is using kids to further a larger political agenda. And that's exactly what this Parent Television Council is about, because they're not using the S word. They're saying bleep. There are far bigger fights to fight in the world of communications and film. There are far more serious and egregious examples of programming and broadcasting than this nonsense. They're not using the excrement word. They're saying bleep. It's quite frankly, the S word is, I put it, within 5 years, it'll probably be okay to say on the air.
Oh, yeah, right. Are you going to say, you're going to say it?
First of all, don't hit the microphone with your hand, man.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
Sorry.
Am I saying what?
Are you going to say the S word? If you do, I'd like to be there the day that happens on account I want to hear it and everything.
Am I going to be the first guy to use it? Probably not, because somebody's already used it.
No, I mean, like, are you going to be the first guy to use it and say it's legal?
No, of course I won't be the first guy to use it and say it's legal.
Why not?
Because I'll get my show pulled off of about a million radio stations, and everybody will hate me, and they won't understand, and they won't give a crap, and they won't realize how it's not unconstitutional. You know, nobody will get my back on it. Forget it.
Oh, what? Are you kidding? If you got a really good reason, excuse me, if you got a really good reason.
You quit belching, man. God.
If you got a good reason.
Forget it, man. I ain't going to be the guy. It's going to be somebody else. I ain't saying the S word, and I ain't saying the F word. I'm not going to be Mr., you know, free speech.
Well, man, why won't you do that, man, and stand up for what's right?
When I do it? I'll tell you why. Because I'm not going to be the lightning rod. I'm not going to be the guy. I'm not going to be the cat that goes out front and tells everyone, I'll take the bullet. That's okay. Not me, brother. Forget it. I'll let some other dude do that. I learned my lesson. I'm going to stand here in the back of the crowd. I'll wait to see which way the wind's blowing, and I'll go that way. I'm going to be jumping out there with the S word anytime soon. So CBS ain't doing it either. So the Parent Television Council, excuse me, has decided to inform its members which advertisers failed to, quote, comply with its request. That's not a request. That's a demand. If the organization's pattern holds, urges them to boycott their products. Anyway, here is William Shatner as he talks about why or how or what. He explains how Twitter inspired this new sitcom.
Well, they have an account called As My Dad Says.
Thank you, William Shatner.
That is a perfect one.
Wait a minute. Here's William Shatner.
The electronic age is on us, isn't it? And Twitter is a part of it. And Mr. Halpern starts twittering about things his father says. And millions of people get alerted to this Twitter, and it becomes very popular. And then CBS picks it up as a television show based on these Twitters, these pithy sayings that this father says.
Yes, we know. Here is a sneak peek at Bleep My Dad Says on CBS.
What's with the driver's manual?
Oh, I turn 72 next week. My license expires at midnight. I got to take the whole test again. I don't remember things the way I used to. And if I don't pass the test, I lose my license for 5 years.
Well, look, you know, worst comes to worst, you get a bike. It'll keep you in shape.
A bike? Take a look out there. Does that look like Bangkok?
Okay, you've been involved in a minor traffic collision with a parked vehicle and you're...
What part of town am I in?
I don't know, downtown.
I hate downtown. It smells of motor oil and hummus.
Fine, then you're down the street at the store.
Which store? The one with the slow kid who works in produce?
No, Dad, the other one.
I like the one with the slow kid who knows his vegetables.
That's pretty funny, man. It's pretty funny. It's Becker, it's Titus, it's, you know, it's the curmudgeonly dude, man.
What's Becker?
Yeah, what's Becker?
God, Becker was that one with Ted Danson.
Oh, forget it.
Oh, I see. So just Ted Danson, that automatically sucks? Good God.
Yeah, well, who cares, man? That was Cheers.
No, Jackball. Anyway, Becker was a doctor, and he was a smartass. It's pretty funny. Shoot the slow kid in produce. All right, coming up, Michael Moore compares the WikiLeaks source with the witnesses of Nazi atrocities. In other words, Michael Moore ain't been getting any love, any notice. He ain't been getting much of nothing lately. So he's got to make some headlines. So there you go. We're going to make some headlines with him. By the way, for whatever reason, I gave Parent Television Council a little bit of publicity, too, because I don't think anybody knows who they are, either.
Nobody knows who you are.
Well, that's true, too. So we can help each other. 877-876-PHIL, world famous. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now it's time for Bud Dickman's Nightly News. Here now from our Bud Dickman News Central, Bud Dickman.
There's a serial killer that I saw about. He's fat. His girlfriend is good-looking. He's fat. And Michael Moore is... Michael Moore said that he thinks the war is about a Nazi, and he thinks there's Nazis all over the place, and he's not going to go over there.
Now more from Bud Dickman.
There's the Pentagon, they said there's a leak somewhere, and it's a WikiLeak.
More Bud Dickman news.
There's the Gulf of Mexico is seeing a blowhole or something, and a dead zone on the Gulf, and biggest blow ever on the Gulf.
More news now with Bud Dickman.
Maxine Waters broke a House rule on an ethic, and she's a Democrat at California. In Virginia, that's what it was.
Or Bud Dickman News.
There's a Newsweek is gonna, or I mean. The Newsweek magazine got bought by a billionaire.
Or Bud Dickman.
Obama says the U.S. is going to get out of there, of Iraq, on a 31 plus in Iraq. And he said that the United States will do it.
More Bud Dickman news.
Vegetables are smart. Somebody said you can have a vegetable that thinks. I don't know about it, but in Brazil, there's a Indianapolis 500 winner, and he's been punished in Brazil.
More Bud Dickman news.
Well, if you have a low carb diet, you're good, but you're probably good. Helen Thomas is in the White House, and Fox was there too, but then Fox moved up, and then the White House told CNN they got to go to the back of the row.
More Bud Dickman news.
Well, no, that's all.
Okay, Bud, good.
Thank you. I wasn't sure about the Helen Thomas one. What is that?
Helen Thomas is they told her to retire.
On account of she made the crack about a Jew?
Yes, exactly. And so she is now no longer occupying that seat in the front row of the White House press briefings, and so they have told her... I mean, not her. They told Fox, I guess, they could move up. Isn't that what you said?
Well, I don't know.
Well, you said something anyway. 877-876. What the hell are you doing, man?
I got to do it again.
Wait a minute, man.
No, I did it.
Bud, we don't have any time.
Hold on, let him do it again.
Is this you, David?
Yeah, turn that down for a minute. Yeah, let him do it again.
Yeah, because I got to do it.
Why does he got to do it again?
He blew it. He blew the story. We got to get it right.
Are you kidding me or something, man? No, nobody can understand this guy.
What did you say?
No one can understand him.
I understand him fine. I want him to do it again and get the news out right. Remember, we can be sued if our credibility is questioned.
Turn this down for 5 seconds. Are you guys trying to tell me that we got a credibility issue here with Bud's news?
I got to get it right, and I even forget what it was.
Yeah, you got to get it right, and he forgets the story. See? Because you were running your big fat mouth.
Yeah, okay, man.
This is Bud Dickman, and I've made a mistake that I made a mistake about something, and I apologize here at the Bud Dickman News.
Go ahead, do it.
This has been Bud Dickman's News.
Perfect.
Get out of here, will you, both of you guys?
Well, I got to get it right.
You didn't get anything right. He came back on and said, oh, I made a mistake. I don't even know what the hell it is you're talking about, man.
I'm talking about the lady.
Oh, get out of here with Helen Thomas, where everybody's sitting. There was one story in there that I really dug, man. I want to read this again. This is great. Fugitives William Dathan Hulbert, Laura Michelle Reese, busted in Panama as suspected serial killers. Every time they put this serial killer thing has become, it's kind of interesting to me. And here, the reason why is there was a time when I was growing up that serial killers, such as when I was very young, the Boston Strangler. I'll never forget the Boston Strangler because it was happening when I was in the sixth grade. I was 11 years old, and it also occurred during the period that President Kennedy was assassinated and the mourning period after that, and really the country coming to grips with that for the many, many months after. Well, it just so happened that in the city of Boston, the Boston Strangler. And then later on in my life came Zodiac. That was the first taste I had of a real nut, you know, a real weird-ass serial killer. And, of course, Manson and all that. So it's always been a very interesting topic for me because these people were always so elusive. To this day, we don't really know who the Zodiac killer was. And there are some people who would argue to this day we don't really know who the Boston Strangler was. Albert DeSalvo was arrested. And there are people who would swear up and down, he didn't do it. Yes, sure. You know, anytime somebody swears up and down, I don't know. It could very well be. There certainly have been miscarriages of justice in the past. But remember how good psychopaths are at lying, like Jeffrey McDonald is a great example. Jeffrey McDonald, who's the Green Bay, the Green Beret. What are you doing now, man?
I'm just looking up Green Bay.
You see, every time I make a mistake, just a little teeny mistake.
Yeah, man, I was going to look it up. You meant Green Beret, man, not Green Bay.
I just want to make sure.
You think it's the same thing?
Well, why not make sure?
You think that Green Bay, Wisconsin is the same as a Green Beret?
No, I know one's a town and the other's a hat.
No, the other isn't a hat. The other is a division, a special forces unit of the United States Army, the Green Berets.
But it's a hat.
It could be a hat, yes.
But that's not what he's talking about.
Well, let me just see here. Yeah, you're right. Green Beret and Green Bay. They make a lot of paper there.
Yeah, that's great, bud. Thank you. Oh, speaking of recession-proof, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I almost want to call my good, close, personal friend who I haven't heard from in years, Jeff McCarthy, up there in Green Bay, because Jeff was telling me when we went up for the Packer game, these many years ago, it's about 7 years ago now, this coming football season, and we were up there for the Packers and Bears, and it doesn't get much better than that. It just doesn't get much better than that. So let's see, where am I now? I'm speaking about a serial murderer. I'm speaking about the forensics, and now I'm off on Green Bay and the Packers because you can't shut up about, and Jeffrey McDonald.
See?
I'll talk about Green Bay later. Anyway, the Green Beret, Jeffrey McDonald, so he was a born liar. But now with DNA, baby, DNA, just like Silvio said in The Sopranos when they were going to cut up that fat guy, when him and what's his name? I forget who the guy was that they killed that guy in the, you know, there in the club room there at the Bada Bing. And he said, should we cut him up? And he goes, nah, too much DNA. So he knew they were going to, the DNA has been the biggest breakthrough. We've had DNA in criminal investigations. We've had the internet in terms of communication. I mean, this has been a remarkable 100, maybe 50, 60 years. But with DNA, it's changed the investigative landscape in favor of the police like 90%. Today, while we can't stop serial killers from committing that first murder, I'm not saying we can't, but it's very unlikely that we can catch them in a relatively short time after that first murder. And if you think back on the stories that we've had here on the show and we've talked to you about, well, we've talked about some of these freaks that have killed people, these mindless idiots that have killed people and killed them in a very gruesome way, and you find out, well, that was the first murder they committed. You start to think, geez, if we didn't have the kind of investigative technique that we have today with the police, the police officers employ these days, that guy would have gone on to kill 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. He could have been another Gary Ridgway, kill 40 women, 40, 45 women.
That guy killed that many?
Yeah.
Who's he?
He was the Green River Killer. We didn't know who this guy was, the Green River Killer. He killed 40 women. But now we're able to nail these scum before they get too far afield. Now, let's take a look at this group that I'm talking about. This is William Dathan Holbert, and he's traveling with some woman by the name of Laura Michelle Reese. They were arrested by authorities as they attempted to make their way into Nicaragua via Costa Rica. The two are wanted in connection with the deaths of 7 fellow Americans in Panama, as well as 2 Panamanians, according to authorities. Holbert has reportedly confessed to the crimes. That would be Holbert, the man. Police believe the 30-year-old bodybuilder befriended the victims, shot them in the head, buried their bodies, then stole their homes and businesses. He picked out his victims after making their acquaintance, said Angel Calderon, a prosecuting attorney, London's Guardian reports. Knowing that nobody would ask about them, he got rid of them. No one would ask about them. They were homeowners. They were business owners. So it's interesting. Is that the only thing we got on that?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that sucks, man. I want to get more information on this. All right, well, we'll find out more about William Dathan Holbert and this woman that he was with, traveling with. Her name is Laura Michelle Reese. We come back from our break. We're taking a break here. Here's the complete story. You know what, Charles? Hold on for a second, brother, because I'm going to finish this because I just got this from Jace. It's unclear what role Reese played in the alleged scheme. Holbert is no stranger to law enforcement. The father of 3 lived in North Carolina until several years ago when he eventually left his wife. And during a brief stint as a gym manager, met Reese. He also stole $25,000, according to the Associated Press, then sold a $200,000 house and car he didn't own and escaped police while traveling through several states. He's allegedly posed as a doctor and ran several scams with Reese, selling property that didn't belong to them, authorities said. The two were last seen in Florida in 2006 and were featured on America's Most Wanted. Police in Panama began investigating Holbert and Reese when 2 bodies were found near a home the two had lived in under false names. Well, there you are. So they got away with all kinds of murders, you know.
Yeah, they got away on account of they was doing it in Panama where they don't have, like, the DNA.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they got DNA investigation down there. But these are Americans. They're on the move, and they're probably killing people in a couple of different countries. So I'm not saying that, you know, we've cracked the problem of serial murders. I'm just saying it seems like, to me, that we are capturing them a lot sooner than we used to, where we had these guys. We're looking for them for years, man.
What about that BTK? That guy was gone a long time.
Yeah.
Well, BTK, yeah. Yeah, that guy was gone a long time is right. They finally got him in the last few years. All right, we're going to tell you about 2 party schools, the top party schools in the nation, plus alcohol consumption is at an all-time high in the U.S. Can you blame us? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What about the Zodiac? You get him yet?
No, man, I told you. We'll be right back.
are listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back, and don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. You pick up a backstage pass. It gives you access to our live streaming video and audio every night. Gives you access to all of our podcasts now that you can download automatically. Gives you access to not only the full show podcast, but our classics, Phil Hendry Classics podcast. And you also have access to our comments section. You have access to an enormous archive of great radio material and a lot of other things that will be forthcoming. Our merchandise store is going to be opening soon. Oh, you guys thought we forgot that, huh?
Are you kidding, man? People are going to be so jazzed about that, they won't even believe it.
We have got our merchandise store coming back, and I'd love to tell you what our very first item is going to be. But I don't want to spoil a surprise, you know.
Oh, man, come on.
Nope, I don't want to do it. We're going to have load the store up with one of the more popular items we had, and we're going to be doing little giveaways with it, too. So I think people are going to dig that. All right, I got into this whole thing with Jason about that thing I saw on ID.
Man, that was really interesting.
I know, but I don't want to get into another story about... There's too much other stuff going on here, man. Now, we did want to give the party schools. Here's the story, though, that we left the last segment with. It might be interesting to know that Americans are drinking more alcohol than they have in the last 25 years. More U.S. adults drink now than since 1985, according to a poll. When the economy's in the tank, do more Americans drown their sorrows in alcohol? Well, times are tough, and the number of U.S. adults drinking booze is at a 25-year high. However, just something to think about, at a 25-year high, so that means that the 1985 was the last time we drank more, and we were in the middle of a boom period, so I guess that shoots that theory, don't it?
Oh, that's a good point, man.
That's a good point.
If in 1985 there was a boom period, you're saying?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It means times were good.
And people was drinking a lot? Probably they were partying, that makes sense.
No, man, he's saying that people are drinking more. If times are bad.
People are going to drink no matter what. People are going to drink because it's good. People are going to drink because it's bad. People are going to drink because it's boring. People are going to drink because it's exciting. 67% of Americans say they drink, the poll reports, the highest percentage since 1985. Well, times are tough. But Gallup, which has been keeping track of U.S. drinking habits for the last 71 years, reports that while the numbers move up and down slightly each year, the statistics on American drinking are surprisingly steady. When Gallup first started keeping track during the tail end of the Great Depression in 1939, 58% of adults said they drank alcohol. How much of this is true, though?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, a lot of people back then didn't want to admit they drank.
Why not?
Because it was considered to be religiously bad, you know.
Oh, you could go to hell or something?
Yeah, they thought, I'll never forget my mom talking about her grandmother would take a sip of, I guess she drank, but she didn't want nobody to know she drank because it was... like against a religion or something.
Yeah, it was very, you know, there was a very big religion in America has attached itself to a variety of social questions. Booze, okay? Evolution, pornography, homosexuality. These are different issues. And I have to tell you, if you look at history, I don't know when they've ever been on the winning side.
Are you talking about like Christians and stuff?
Yeah, when have they been on the winning side of a social question? The evolution question, they have lost, and the reason why they lost it isn't because they got shouted down. The science. The prohibition question, they lost. It isn't because they got shouted down or screamed down. It's because we realized that some people could drink and not be sinners. Some people could drink and not be moral reprobates. Some people could drink and they wouldn't lose their souls. All right. Pornography, they also lost that battle because while it is true that there is a lot of pornography, it's also true that there is such a thing as freedom of speech, free expression, and the separating from the community at large. These areas, these enclaves where pornography is either sold or is celebrated. So, for instance, you can have an adult bookstore, but we don't want it near our school. We don't want it near our homes. You know, keep that crap away from us. These are things you do to adjust to the demands of a free society, free speech. And I don't think that the religious right has ever really been broad-minded enough to think of it that way. And now we have this question of homosexuality. And,
well, you said it just like a gay guy.
Yeah, you did.
What do you mean?
You wrote, now we have the question of homosexuality. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, it sounds just like that, man.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, how observant of you guys.
Yeah, you did though, man. You go, and now we have the question of homosexuality.
It sounds just like that.
Yeah, and what?
Well, you blew it, man. You blew it.
Yeah, in the words of Robert De Niro, you blew it. You blew it.
How did I blow it?
Just now, nobody's going to listen to you because you're all homosexuality. You got to watch the way you say that. And I'm like, ow.
Get out of here, both of you clowns, all right? And take that Mountain Dew out of here, man. I've been drinking that stuff like water.
It's your fault, man.
Yeah, my fault. All right, anyway, never mind. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Our website, philhenryshow.com. If you want to visit us on Twitter, we're at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. If you want to visit us at Facebook, it's facebook.com/PhilHenry. But visit us. God bless. See you. Produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wagon. Our screener was Dan Northcraft. Later and greater.
Phil Hendry.